Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and once again, welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, and her feast ties into a lot of what I was speaking about yesterday. How often we can think, well, I don't have this gift or I don't have that gift, so I can't preach the gospel or I can't do this or that or the other thing. We disqualify ourselves. That's not what we're called to do. Look at what happened to St. Francis Xavier. This is quite an interesting little anecdote summary of her life in Magnificat magazine. So I just share it with you for the first few minutes here. Francis was born of a pious family in Lombardy, Italy, in 1850. She founded the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart in 1880, which would make her 30 years old. Responding to Bishop, now blessed, John Baptiste Scalabrini, his plea for aid to Italian immigrants. We're dealing with a lot of immigrants these days. Frances and her sisters went to New York in 1889. She was 39 years old. They immediately gathered orphan children into a home. When asked to open a hospital, Frances pleaded her ignorance of health care. Now listen to this. She pleaded her ignorance. She really didn't know. It was the rational, wise thing to say. I have no connection with it. I wouldn't know what to do. She says, the Blessed Mother appeared to her in a dream tending the sick. And the Blessed Mother said to St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, I am doing the work you refuse to do. Whoa. She told Francis, Columbus Hospital in Chicago was Francis's next effort. In 28 years, she founded 67 schools, orphanages, convents, and hospitals in the United States and beyond. She died in 1917. Check out her life, brothers and sisters. There's so much God wants to do in us and through us. Just dispose yourself. And some priest said to me one time, are you willing to give God a blank check? In other words, instead of telling God what I wanted him to bless and what I thought I ought to be doing, was to just lay my life before him in a particular chapter in my life and just ask him, what is it you want? And he definitely led the way, a way I never would have expected. Sometimes you just get silence. Don't be put off by that. Usually silence, I mean, test it out with other people, but often if you don't get any answer, it's either that you're too closed to the answer or that God is not giving you an answer right now. He's just working on you as a person. How much do you trust him? How willing are you to follow him? Do you have daily prayer? Do you give him time? Do you seek to face your sin and repent for it? Just living a solid Catholic Christian life. Then when God needs you and you dispose yourself, because he'll never violate your free will, if you say to him, Lord, I'm willing to be used however you want me to be used, he will do so. So let's take a look now at the readings for today. First is Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8 and 11 to 14. Beloved, you must say what is consistent with sound doctrine, namely that older men should be temperate, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, love, and endurance. Similarly, older women should be reverent in their behavior, not slanderers, not addicted to drink, teaching what is good, so that they may train younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, chaste, good homemakers, under the control of their husbands, so that the word of God may not be discredited. Sometimes that phrase, they should be good homemakers under the control of their husbands, that translation would grate on a number of people these days. The point is that husband and wife care for one another. Each has strengths and each has weaknesses. And when they're commonly able to acknowledge them in one another, then they can really help one another. We can cultivate the gifts of the other. And we have the freedom to be able to see when we see that sin is getting a hold in one area or another, to share that, to open up our hearts. Husbands do that for wives, and wives can do that for husbands. But it's putting yourself not as you're the final decider and the final arbiter of anything. A marriage, the two shall become one flesh. The Lord has a plan that's far greater than for you as an individual. In your marriage, even greater good can happen. Urge the younger men similarly to control themselves, showing yourself as a model of good deeds in every respect, with integrity in your teaching, dignity and sound speech that cannot be criticized, so that the opponent will be put to shame without anything bad to say about us. For the grace of God has appeared, saving all, and training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires, and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age, as we await the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to deliver us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people as his own, eager to do what is good. Are you part of a people whom God calls his own? And are you eager to do what is good? I think this passage of Paul to Titus is a wonderful self-examination. It's good for couples to do it together, to find out where you complement one another, where one does not have this gift, but the other has this gift that has an appropriate place. How you share your gifts. Friends can do it with friends, people who know you. You don't want to do it with strangers because you really don't know them. But to do it with friends, honest friends, friends who are true friends, and to see, where am I in this? Are my gifts growing? Am I using them for the glory of God? In all my relationships, am I trying to live as Christ would want me to live? If I'm failing, what am I doing about that? How am I repenting? What grace am I asking from God to change? Because that's what God wants to do. He just wants that we become his people, and he is reflected in us and through us. It's not that you see him in the flesh, but you see him in the disposition of heart, of mind, of generosity of spirit, of kindness, of willingness to forgive. This is what God wants to work, that you who are made in the image and likeness of God, that should be able to be seen. But God gave us free will so that we're never coerced. What kind of choice do you make? I know I say this, but I keep saying it over and over again because I'm hoping that you'll really get it. You have free will. Are you going to put it under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Or are you going to make yourself the final decider on what is God's will and what is not? I'd follow the Lord if I were you. Psalm 37, the salvation of the just comes from the Lord. Trust in the Lord, do good, that you may dwell in the land and be fed in security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will grant you your heart's requests. The Lord watches over the lives of the wholehearted. Their inheritance lasts forever. By the Lord are the steps of a man made firm, and he approves his way. Turn from evil and do good, that you may abide forever. The just shall possess the land and dwell in it forever. I'll give you a little bit of homework. Read the Psalms. Read through the whole book of Psalms. You've got a lot of them. Read through them. Write down your two favorite ones and send me an email. ashields@renewalministries.net. ashields@renewalministries.net. No capitals, no spaces. Just ashields@renewalministries.net. Tell me your two or three favorite psalms. Really encourage you to do that over the next month. Take some time with it. Don't just answer right away. Take time. What are my favorite ones? What are the ones that challenge me? What are the ones that help me, that comfort me? It's important. So just tell me, give me three psalms and what they do for you, the way in which they help you. We take a look at Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Jesus said to the apostles, "Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place here at the table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" In other words, you don't want to say, "Well, look at all these things I've done for God. Therefore, I'm, you know, on the top of the world." Has my service to God borne fruit? Has my life changed? Have I been the means to reach others with the gospel? Have their lives been enriched by my presence? You don't have to be a scholar. What you have to be is a genuine disciple, a genuine son or daughter of God, and you live out of that relationship. If people lived out of the reality of who we are and who Christ by his death on the cross made possible for us to be, people who will live forever, then doesn't it behoove us to start on that path? Now, what are we doing? Waiting for heaven to be holy? The call is to let God's presence be seen in us and through us. Let the light shine more brightly, because the light of Christ is within us will not be overcome by the darkness of this earth. It will not. And there's a certain way in which the Father has entrusted the light, his Son Jesus, to shine forth in us and through us and change lives. Not something you see physically most of the time. It's not that. But it's having conversation with certain people. You come away enlightened, built up, more hopeful, more inspired, more encouraged, because they're speaking to you out of the very heart of Christ. That's what you want to receive, and then in turn, that's what you want to be for the sake of others. Jesus said to the apostles, "Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep, 'Come here immediately and take your place at the table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron, and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished'? Is he grateful to the servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We were done what we were obliged to do.'" In other words, don't say, "Look at me, how good I am, how holy I am, how generous I am, how charitable I am." We're called to decrease that he may increase. It doesn't mean that when people thank you, acknowledge it and ask God's blessing on them. But don't take credit to yourself. It comes from him. May God bless you and lead you and work through you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.